If you lost Survivor and you're feeling down, David and Jessica will turn it around. They'll break down the rules and they'll show you how. You played yourself and got voted out. This is why Blank lost. And this is why Blank lost. Oh, baby, this is why Blank lost.
Welcome back to Why Blank Lost. I'm David Bloomberg, and I know everybody listening is shocked. Shocked at the outcome of this week's episode. Except, of course, that's exactly what I predicted last week. My co-host, Jessica Lewis, almost convinced me to change my mind on what was going to happen. But I'm glad I held on to it.
I did. Because here's the thing, and this is something that I'm sure we'll be talking a lot about. One of the reasons why I came to the conclusion I did was because, gosh, we were seeing a lot of Banu. And gosh, I feel like that should mean something, right?
It did.
And it shouldn't mean that he's just going to get voted off the next episode.
Yeah. They needed to pack in all their Banu content.
But they didn't need to.
No, they didn't. You're right.
No. So that was why I came up with my Kenzie theory. Maybe I read too much into the edit and maybe I shouldn't have done that. Mm-hmm. But yes, that was why. Yes. I came close to convincing you, though.
You did. Really you did. Mm-hmm. I'm glad I didn't let you. Now you're never going to convince me because I got this one right.
Like I've ever really affected you much. Yeah, no. We both know that I'm very bad at my predictions. So don't ever put any stock into anything Jessica says as far as predictions are concerned, because it's not going to bode well for you.
Yeah. Well, I said last week, speaking of lots of Banu, that in talking about all those things Banu did before we got to the rules, I risked us discussing why Banu lost a week early. However, I also said I was sure he'd do more to make things even worse. I was right about both. We still have plenty to discuss. Lucky everybody. So even though it might seem obvious why Banu was voted out, to the point that they didn't even go through the formality of writing down his name, we have to make sure we get all the details so nobody ever goes through this again. To do that...
Fair point.
Yeah. To do that, we'll compare his game to my rules for winning that I originally wrote way back after season 1 and have been updating ever since, using all the non-spoiler information available to us from what we saw on TV, interviews, social media, and secret scenes. The newest version of the rules can be found on the robhaswebsite.com/yxlostfeed website and clicking on the link bubble for the Survivor rules. Now, speaking of those rules, one thing I want to particularly mention is that in the introduction to the rules, I specifically note the other presumption here, and I know it sounds silly, but it needs to be said, is that the player actually wants to win the game.
Yes.
They shouldn't be there for the experience or to face the toughest opponent or whatnot. Or rather, they can be if they want, I suppose. But those are not the people who we're focused on here. Survivor is a game and the goal is to win, period. Mm-hmm. That is the basic assumption here. And these rules can lead good players to that end goal. To quote Harry, a super fan on Australian Survivor, people should play to win.
100%. Yes. There shouldn't be a desire to win $1 million and not win $1 million. You can want to do both. I think both would be lovely. If you can win $1 million and win $1 million, excellent. Kudos to you. Mm-hmm. But it shouldn't be, I'll take that over the $1 million.
Right.
No.
Right. Mm-mm. Now, before we address how Banu did in terms of the rules, we always have some other things to discuss from this week's episode. And the first one involves Banu. Some people, mostly on Facebook, but also on Twitter, have been suggesting that Banu is acting. Their evidence is that he's an actor. And for those of you just listening, big air quotes on that, with an IMDb page. Yeah, well, he's a dancer, too. Does that mean he was dancing? No. And he was not acting. Acting is not even anywhere near his primary job. If you actually read his IMDb page, he's been in some shorts and he's had roles like Guy on the Street, uncredited, you know, I mean, it's not his profession. The fact that someone has done a few very minor acting jobs does not mean they are acting in everything they do. And it's frankly ridiculous how wedded to this conspiracy belief some people have gotten.
Yeah, I do think that there's something to be said about some of the things that we did see him doing that mm-hmm. were a little head scratching. But I think it was likely more just a combination of all of the things coming together for Banu, right? It was the overwhelming nature of the game. It was his emotional state. It was all of these things. Mm-hmm. And you have all these stressors on you. And then he's starting to behave in a way or act. And when right. I say act, I don't mean like acting in a way mm-hmm. that makes you go, well, that's strange. But I can't imagine that CBS would have said, hey, here's a creative idea. Let's get this guy to come on the show and have him act, and we'll make sure that he's out like by episode 4, but we're just going to throw him in there to kind of like stir the pot and see what happens. They don't need to do that. You know why they don't need to do that? Because people like Banu exist.
Right. And I don't think at least most of the conspiracists are saying CBS had a specific hand in it. They're saying Banu came on and lied to everyone so he could be an actor and use this as his way to get into like major films and TV.
Well, but if that was his goal, he definitely failed at it too.
Yes.
I mean, come on. What? Not how you get a movie role.
Yeah. And not only that, under this conspiracy belief, if he was really acting to get roles in the future, he would have to say he was acting.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But in none of the interviews I read or listened to or watched, did he even hint it? Quite the opposite. He reemphasized his previously stated reasons for wanting to be on Survivor.
Right.
So how is he supposedly planning on getting acting jobs if he doesn't say he was acting? You can't have it both ways. It makes no sense.
Maybe he was waiting until the end of the season to be like,
going to be a big reveal. I'm sure some people would say that. You wouldn't believe some of the responses I got. And when I ask for evidence, they either run away or they block me. Literally, that's what they do. Yeah. And, you know, I mean, the other thing is, like you said, if this was supposed to be an acting audition, I wouldn't hire him. I'm sorry.
No.
It was bad acting. Melodramatic.
It was bad.
Yeah. You know, and the funniest part of the segment with Q coaching him was that Banu was failing the acting part.
Right. Yeah.
And so I'm sure the conspiracy nuts who believe this would respond, well, he was acting to pretend that he couldn't act.
Well, I guess they've got it all figured out then.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. So with that out of the way, I have another Banu-related item. And it's not...
Again,
shocking. Yeah, it's not all Banu-related. It's more Jeff and production-related. Because I made an offhand remark a few minutes ago about the tribe not even voting. And this has been a topic of conversation and consternation for some people. Because while it was obvious this time, it could be used as a strategy in the future. Or rather, if someone has a strategy that involves pretending it's going to be an easy vote and Jeff doesn't do this at that point, others could figure out that something is up. Now, you know, everybody listening knows, I'm usually one of the first to say something when I think Jeff messed up. I really just cannot get upset about this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Q said on Twitter that they were asked if they wanted to vote. No move was being made and no need to waste more time and energy walking up those steps. And really, I appreciate that. Move it along. We know what's happening here. More importantly, I feel like this was a special case. There was literally nothing Banu himself could do. And it was very clear nobody else wanted to. Plus, Jeff would have known from other producers if something was up, like, say, Q planning to play an idol to save Banu and get Kenzie out. I know that those saying it was a bad decision actually use that as a point in their favor by saying, well, in the future, if Jeff doesn't bring it up, people could infer that there's something going on behind the scenes that they don't know about. And yes, I suppose so. And I also know that Stephen and Rob discussed this on Know It Alls. I side with Rob. I Stephen was the more concerned one. Rob was like, yeah, but really? And I'm right there with Rob. I would also add one reason that I'm right there is it is just so unlikely that there will be a situation in the future like this one where everybody wants someone out and that person has essentially given up because they have no vote. They can't play a shot in the dark. They have nothing.
Right.
There, so if it happens again and this situation screws something up for someone, fine. Come back at me. Come at me on Twitter at that point and say, David, you were wrong. You should have been concerned about that. I'm not losing sleep over it.
Well, I think this brings out an interesting point, though, about the issues with the way that the game is currently being played. And I'm not talking about the players. I'm talking about production creating the game that the players have to play. Because when you run into a situation like this where someone has no vote, so then they can't use their shot in the dark. And so there's all of these extra components that exist because production has created these new components to the game that essentially put someone in a corner and there's no hope at all for them to do anything. And this is a perfect example of what is being lost, I think, with the game of Survivor, because voting was always the biggest component and what would happen at tribal council and who would go home and who would be voted out. And when you take everything away from a player, then we are losing the pure essence of what Survivor is. And it's supposed to be that ability to maybe have your voice heard through a vote. And I understand if three people have decided he's going home, there's very little that he can do. But the mere fact that you've taken away any ability for him to do anything, I just feel like we're losing sight of what the game is supposed to mean and what we're supposed to be doing.
And the worst part about him losing his vote is he had no choice in the matter. He had no say in the matter. He was picked by someone else, and then he drew a rock, and he had no option to not play the game. That's the part I really don't like. If they're going to send people on journeys, they have to give them a choice. There has to be
100%.
Some amount of personal responsibility. So if he played it and lost, that was his choice.
Right.
You know, don't set up situations where you have no choice and no choice.
Right.
And then take away the vote.
Yeah. I think it's terrible. And it's
but it's dangerous. Dangerous. Right. Ooh.
But it's different even with the, and I know we're going down kind of a rabbit hole here, but with the beware advantage where someone does have a choice where they can go, oh, they've been told this is your beware advantage. And I guess maybe production is going, well, we don't tell them who has to go on the boat to go on the journey.
But they did.
They get to choose.
But Liz chose.
Well, but that's what I mean. So it's like, there's portions of this where production can try to argue, well, no, we gave them a choice. No, you actually didn't give them a choice when someone else is making that choice for them. And there's all of these things that end up working against the person's game in a way that become just, it's just not Survivor anymore when that's what's happening.
I mean, it's
because
Survivor.
It should be
it's
about
just,
choices.
It's, you know, and in this case, would it have mattered? No.
Yeah. No, it wouldn't have, just, but this is a good example.
Right. The extreme nature of this example shows, you know, here's a guy who couldn't even offer up the one thing that every player should have, which is their vote.
Yeah. And this is, so, I mean, it's, I don't like it.
All right. Well, now let's do what the episode did and move away from Banu for a few minutes before going back to him again. We can start by talking about Jem, who, of course, found and then replanted the Beware Advantage clue to mess with people, and Maria found it. This led to a lot of fruitless digging and fun scenes of Jem being highly amused by it all.
And tweets about it being the poop spot for certain tribes.
Yes!
In their previous
several tribes. They were digging through a lot of poop there, you know.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. Maybe that's a sign we need to go somewhere other than Fiji.
Yeah. Well, it's not happening. I think the next couple of years. So, but maybe they just need to have signs, you know, do not dig here. Warning. Beware.
Beware.
That's the beware and the beware advantage. You'll be digging through poop.
Poop area. Yeah. Beware. Yeah.
Now, it was more than just fun and games, because when they couldn't find anything, Jem also encouraged the idea that Tim planted the advantage and said he was overcompensating by working so hard at digging to take suspicion off himself.
Mm.
People seem to be agreeing with that, at least for now, and we'll have to see what happens next week.
Yeah, it was nice to see her having such a good time with it.
Mm-hmm.
And I do appreciate that she kind of thought that one through as well, that I want to throw people off and I want to make them think that it's something. And then she took it a step further and mm-hmm. was trying to blame it on someone else. And she did it all in a way that wasn't suspicious mm-hmm. and was very believable. So it will be interesting to see how it all shakes out.
Yeah. Now, it was pointed out to me that at some time she's going to have to play that idol. And so people will know. She'd better let some people in on the secret before then.
Yes, because they might be upset that they were digging in poo.
Yeah, well.
If they find out.
Yeah. Well, they found out now if they're on Twitter.
They found out now, but when they're on the island, maybe they didn't know.
Yeah. Now, over on Nami, we found out a bit more about the tribe dynamics, specifically as they revolve around Soda. She thinks she's
my girl, Soda.
Yes.
Keep her name out of your mouth, okay?
And I also say that to people on Twitter who were criticizing things about her that shouldn't be criticized. They were basically personally attacking her, and she ended them. I mean, literally, by the time she was done with them, they had deleted their Twitter account.
Love that.
Yeah. So,
good job, Soda.
Yeah. Now, in the game, she thinks she's tight with Tevin and Hunter. Plus, she has the ears of everyone else. And she told us her head is in the game all the time. But unfortunately for her, others have noticed that her head mm-hmm. is in the game all the time. As Tevin said, she's playing the game a little too hard for me. And he sees how he's playing other people and worries she may be doing the same to him. Now, this is interesting, considering what we heard from Randon in his interviews last week. And I wonder how much of this is a reaction to the seed he planted before he knew he was leaving. Because remember, he said he was trying to turn the target away from Venus and on to Soda.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the reasons that Tevin gave are awfully similar to what Randon said he had mentioned.
Listen, stay away from my girl Soda, okay? Come on. I need this, all right? I need a winner.
You need a pop.
I do. It's been very, very long since I've had a winner pick. And my last one was JT, which was forever ago. So come on. Like, just leave her alone. She's doing great. She's having a good time. She's playing the game. Mm-hmm. Tevin, you're doing great too. Join in. Play together. It's all lovely. Just stop.
Yeah.
We all need to stop focusing on Soda.
Yeah.
And I was, when they started to say her name towards the beginning of the episode, I'm like, okay, good. She's fine. They've mentioned her so soon. It's so early in the episode. Nothing will happen to Soda. So I was very pleased.
I mean, they mentioned Banu early in the episode too.
How can you not?
Well,
He's been in every episode, 85% of the time of every episode. So
not his fault, sense. Production's fault.
No, and listen, I know that, and I know that we are going to be saying a lot of things about Banu, and I don't know if you really addressed this very much.
But
he's a great guy. He's an absolutely great human being, lovely person all around,
mm-hmm.
terrible Survivor player. Yes. It's just,
hey, spoilers, we're not done yet. We're not to the rules yet. Come on.
Trust me, there's a lot of things we'll talk about, but he's a lovely human being. He absolutely is.
Going back to Nami, as far as other players on the tribe, Hunter is thrilled by this idea because he sees Soda as competition for being close to Tevin. Personally, I think he also wants her to stop singing. But the look on his face was just hilarious, just absolutely hilarious. And then also during part of the song, you had Venus like sweeping. I said it looked like Cinderella. Everybody, you know, the wicked stepsisters are having fun and she's cleaning up and sweeping. So
it's a great broom.
Yes. Now, Liz, meanwhile, thinks that if Soda makes merge, she can win it all. So if Nami does go to tribal council, it sure doesn't look good for Soda.
Stop it.
I'm just saying.
Stop.
Well,
we are not doing that.
I mean, the other thing is, first, they'd have to lose a challenge. So good luck.
Right. Oh, and Hunter, what did Tevin say? As soon as Hunter gets those balls in his
hand, Hunter gets them balls in his hand, it's done. It's possible I had that quote ready to go here because, yes, speaking of shocking results, Hunter won immunity for Nami. Yeah, Hunter is going to need a really solid alliance going to merge because he is going to be a gigantic target thanks to the way
it's almost born. Like, I don't know, he built things at home and practiced,
yes.
Right?
Yes. Yeah. So I know that there were some other things going on besides, of course, Banu. But, we'll leave those for now, or I'll be putting some of those in my TikToks at David Bloomberg TV. Is there anything else you wanted to discuss before we move on?
I don't know if now is necessarily the best time, but I am. I know that there is a lot of I'm getting a little visitor here behind me. Oh. Here comes my dog. I know that there is a lot of commentary happening about this season and just how it feels different. It feels not like Survivor. And I feel the same way. I feel like there's something that's just a little bit off right now. And I'm really hoping that things move in a different trajectory, yeah. and that the game shifts, and that there's just something, because right now it just feels like we're just kind of dragging our feet to get through these episodes, and I'm just not loving that. This is something I love watching and I love being a part of, and I just feel myself watching these episodes and just going, oh, please, just something
well, and,
more.
And I think a large part of that is the excessive Banu content. And again, not Banu's fault. He didn't make the editing choices.
Mm-hmm.
That would be the editors and production in general. And
they
just chose to show every dang minute of him. And and the other problem is that because of the way they've been doing things, Yanu has lost every challenge or every immunity challenge, which means there's a lot of focus on the same few people. And there's only so many different ways those people can interact. Those few people can interact. And so we're seeing it over and over and over again in the first four episodes. And we're getting little snippets of everybody else, but that's all they are because they haven't had to play the game.
Right. Yes. And this is why I feel like, and I know we've said it before, but I'm going to say it again. Let's go back to a
two-tribe
format.
Yes.
It's just such a better avenue to develop stories, to develop gameplay, to get to see more people as opposed to a very minimal amount of individuals. Yeah, it would be such an incredible thing to say, hey, here's like, I don't know. Also, why don't we just give everybody Flint so they're not starving and they can actually compete and play the game.
Sleep and eat and So, yes, all these things, I know, people have heard them on different podcasts. They've heard them from us before. But, I believe that is why this season has dragged a little bit compared to other seasons. Yeah. I just think it's the way the story has come together or come apart. Now, before we move forward, it's time for yet another disclaimer, because as I mentioned last week, whenever we criticize someone's game, we sometimes hear from people who accuse us of hating on them or disliking them personally or something of that nature. That is not true. And if it is true, we'll let you know. But it's generally not true.
Mm-hmm.
Banu, as we've already said once, seems like a really sweet, nice guy. Mm-hmm. We are not here to judge sweet and nice. And while some of the interviews have seemed like a nice warm hug from the Survivor press to him, we are not going to be doing that.
We don't hug.
No. some of what we're going to say is going to sound mean if people want to take it that way. But that's because we are objectively evaluating his game. And spoiler alert, it was bad. So I just want everyone to keep that in mind as we proceed.
Yes, please.
But before we get to how Bonner did, we want to mention that the rules we're about to discuss come in a much more colorful version in poster form. Go to robhitswebsite.com/YXLostFeed, scroll down to the poster and click on it, and then order it, and then it will be sent to you. It's just right. The way the world works. It's magic.
It is just the way the world works.
So then you can keep scrolling down, and you can get the poster on a t-shirt, which you can also click on and order. Or you can get the poster on a checklist, which you can also click on and order. So again, go to robhasawebsite.com/YXLostFeed, and you can get everything you want.
I love it. And they should.
Yes. Now, before we move on, we all know that Banu said, "I didn't come to win $1 million. I came to win 1 million hearts. And he said it about 1 million times. He came for the journey. He came to share his story. All of that is his choice. But remember, we are here to evaluate his game based on trying to win. I quoted from the introduction to my rules about that earlier. So with that in mind, let's look at what Banu did wrong, what Banu didn't do right, and figure out overall why Banu lost.
Sneaky, sneaky. Oh, that was good. That was good. I'm sorry. I'm laughing at David. Okay, yes. He's funny.
Thank you.
Anyway.
All right. Well, the first and most important rule.
I'm in so much trouble. Oh, my goodness. I'm so sorry.
The first and I'm just going to say this again. The first and most important rule is to scheme and plot.
Yes.
And I think Kenzie said it the best. He doesn't have a strategic bone in his sweet little body.
Right.
He loves the game. He loves to watch it, but it's different to play it. And
yes.
Q also said he has a passion for the game, but he doesn't understand the game. And this is, of course, this concept is something we've talked about from time to time in the past, including in our preview podcast when we saw some of this coming and a lot more recently for some reason. Watching the TV show, even loving the TV show, in and of itself, does not make one good at playing the game or understanding the game. Banu himself provided a big piece of evidence for that in his final words when he said, "I'm a super fan of Survivor and I came here to be honest." Those two sentences should never be said together.
They can't be.
The second one disproves the first one.
Right.
Because any actual super fan would know you cannot play Survivor by being honest like he wanted.
Right. Yes. And I think that that's a lovely idea. And I think it's something that we've spoken about previously where people come into Survivor and they have an idea of how they want to play. And we've heard previous players say, well, I don't want to have to lie and I don't want to have to be dishonest. But I always feel like there's like a little asterisk next to it when other players have said it because they realize that at some point I'm going to have to. And everyone has that moment when you're playing the game where you come to that first crossroad, right? Where you're like, oh, I have to lie. And it doesn't feel good. And I remember the first time I had to do it and you have to keep a straight face and you have to tell that person, no, we're not voting for you. And I know that we are, but that's part of Survivor. Yeah. And that's part of what makes you a good player is your ability to adapt and also adjust and respond to other people in a way that allows you to play the game and not offend people in the process because you aren't throwing them under the bus. You aren't telling everybody what the plan is. You aren't negatively affecting someone else's game. And I feel like that was truly the biggest issue with Banu wanting to be honest is he's not, the honesty that he wants to provide is not just affecting his game. It's affecting other right. people as well. And so now you are taking the people that you need to be close to you and throwing them under the bus and telling people all about them because you want to be honest. And you can't develop the relationships that you need to have to go further in this game and being honest, because then you are honest to a fault of everyone because right. you are providing information on not just yourself, but everybody who you're playing the game with.
Yeah. Yeah. Banu went even further into detail about his quest for honesty in interviews. He said mostly the same things about pretty much everything in almost every interview, at least the ones I saw. In this specific case about honesty, he told everyone how he's a super fan. There's that word again. Who has watched every episode of every season. But he felt that how he saw people playing was not how he wanted to play. He insisted there's not just one way of playing. So he wanted to try something different and play his way, which was to see if honesty works. Well, several things here. He's right. There isn't just one way to play. There are definitely lots of different ways to play. But there are a lot more ways to not play.
Yes.
And he chose one of them. And the biggest problem, though, is if he had really paid attention while watching every episode of every season, he would have noticed. He's not the first person to have this false epiphany and believe that they can play the game with honesty.
Mm-hmm.
It's been tried and failed. We only need to go back to Survivor 43 and look at NECA.
Mm-hmm.
She said in the preseason, even though the game is one where people very easily resort to lying and cheating and backstabbing, I see myself challenging how that is played and going with the opposite of that, and we'll see how that works out. Well, how did it work out? Well, let me quote from what I said in our Why NECA Lost podcast. Both of us predicted that it would work out the same way it almost always works out for someone who wants to come in and change the game. Not well. And we were right. I'm happy to say that NECA even recognizes it now, as she told interviewers that she no longer thinks it's possible to play the game without lying.
Mm-hmm.
It's unfortunately too late for her, but hopefully future players can take note.
Yes.
Clearly, Banu did not take note.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just unfortunate. And again, your point is very valid. There are many ways that this game can be played, and we have seen so many players come at this game in a different way. But if there is one thing that those players have in common is they aren't being completely honest when they're playing the game. So there's that.
And they aren't trying to change the game.
Right.
You know,
right.
You have to play that's given to you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can't play Monopoly and say, well, I think it's wrong to charge people rent. So I'm just, you know, nobody's going to have to pay me. It's fine. I mean, you can play Monopoly that way.
You can, but guess what? You're losing.
Again, the similarity there.
Yes.
And the thing is, Banu's over-honesty rather than strategy, and you touched on this, had an impact on every facet of his game.
Mm-hmm.
We discussed last week how his tribe mates tried to explain to him that he could lie to Jeff and tribal council, but he just couldn't conceive of it. And, you know, we'll discuss more of that in Rule 2. But as Kenzie said, he doesn't know how to play Survivor. Why did he come out here?
Mm-hmm.
Banu said in Tribal Council that how to play the game didn't click with him for 6 days. My reaction to him saying that was, dude, it still hasn't clicked with you. Even now, 9 months after being voted out, it hasn't clicked.
Yeah. Well, I feel like now, too, there was a lot of like Monday morning quarterbacking kind of things happening and like digging in and going, no, that's really what I wanted to do. And there was a reason why I wanted to do it. And I feel like he's maybe just getting like,
but even
locked even, in, even though he really shouldn't be.
But even that, he's still not giving the right answers. I mean, it would be one thing, you know.
I don't disagree, but what I'm saying is that he's trying to support his own initial cause that like, oh, that's what that was my goal was this is what I wanted to do. And that's how I played. And so I really did win in the long run.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Now,
before leaving this rule, there are two more things I want to mention. One is when he said I had so much power in the game, and now I'm like a puppet. I'm as confused as a goat on AstroTurf about that, because I don't understand when he believed he ever had any power in the game, let alone so much.
Yeah.
The way he was playing didn't allow him to have any power in the game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then the final thing, the cherry on top of it all, was that there was one strategic thing Banu could have tried to do to save himself. And no, I'm not talking about begging on his knees or yelling at God. But he knew a piece of valuable information, which was that Q wanted Kenzie gone and was planning to make that move, at least as far as Banu knew, if Randon hadn't been medevaced. If he wanted to stay, he should have mentioned this to Kenzie and tried to flip her against Q. And this would have been interesting because, of course, she would have spoken to Tiffany. And then we could have seen some drama there.
Yeah, but that requires some strategy.
Exactly. Heaven forbid that he do anything like that.
Yeah. No, instead it was going to each person begging them to keep him. And here's
the
thing.
Which is not strategic.
It is not strategic, and I don't want to belittle him because obviously he was very emotional at that point, but just merely asking someone to keep you around is not a reason to keep you around for that person. That person needs to have a reason why keeping Banu will benefit them versus getting rid of Banu.
And the reason is never going to be because you were begging me on your knees.
Right.
I mean, it clearly made Tiffany feel uncomfortable. She's like, I'm not even talking to you with you doing that. You know?
I think it made people watching uncomfortable.
Yes.
This is never the gameplay that you want to be putting forth. You're certainly not changing the game by doing this. And you're not helping yourself at all, because there has to be a reason why someone will keep you as opposed to keeping that person over there. And yes, what you've just mentioned could have worked, because it could have been like, hey, guess what? He wanted to get rid of you, Kenzie, and I didn't, but he thinks that I'm with him. So yes, there could have been some more drama. Yeah. There could have been shifting and maybe making people look elsewhere, but none of that existed. And so for everyone who was left, for Q and Kenzie and Tiffany, they were looking at him going, what is he offering us? Literally nothing. Right. Yes, he's doing well in challenges, but he's telling the
put a pause on that.
We'll put a pause on that. But, you know, he's telling the other tribes how, like, what we're doing and who's close and who's running the show. And he's wrecking our games, making us targets. Mm-hmm. I mean, so all of this is not good for them. And so they had no reason to want to keep him.
Right. Right. All right. Well, we can move to the second rule, which says not to scheme and plot too much. At first glance, you may think Banu obviously didn't have any problem because he couldn't even figure out how to scheme and plot, let alone do it too much. But then we get to the second part, which I usually read as one sentence. And it says, keep your scheming secret. He certainly had a big problem there. And you, like I said, you touched on it already, because we know he went on the journey and spilled his guts about his whole tribe. And he said in interviews that he did it because he was emotional and he didn't feel he could properly express those emotions on his own tribe because they would criticize him. So when he met with Ben and Liz, it all came out. As he told Mike Bloom, I didn't think, okay, what I'm saying or doing will impact the game moving forward. I just wanted to get it out of my system. Yeah, that pretty much says it all. He didn't think about it impacting the game moving forward.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And not just his game again, everyone else's game. And I think it's fascinating too, because we got to see what happened after the journey with the two individuals, Liz and who was the,
Ben.
Was it Ben, the immediacy of when they went back and they were like, so he told us like everything.
Yeah.
And they just shared all of the dirty laundry from what was coming. And Ben was even, I didn't say anything about us, because Ben's like, I didn't need to. He kept talking the whole time. And so that's something, like, you can't unring that bell, right? Mm-hmm. So now everybody has heard everything about what's going on with Kenzie and Q and Tiffany. And so if they do end up switching things up, Everyone is going to have that knowledge. Everyone has that basis of knowledge. And so, yes, he's put them all in a very difficult place.
Yeah. And then he found a way to make it worse by telling Tiffany and Q about what he had said.
Right.
Now, on the one hand, he said in interviews that he did it because he wanted to be open and honest with them because they could find out about it later. Okay, maybe. But on the other hand, and this may be some of the retro thinking here, you know.
Monday morning quarterbacking.
Well,
kind of
I always
thing.
Think of Monday morning quarterbacking as that you weren't actually the quarterback. You know, you're sitting there saying what the quarterback should have done.
Sure.
I could be wrong about that, but that, you know, so, you know, I'm trying to think of the right word for it, but retroactively explaining, you know, himself. Mm-hmm. And so this is where that comes in because he told them, or when he told them, and saw the looks on their faces, he said, did I do something wrong?
Right.
And meanwhile, Q was doing just an epic facepalm. Epic facepalm. Banu could not understand how telling the other tribes about all the relationships in Yanu could possibly be a problem. He simply did not get it.
And I just want to say, too, for someone who wanted to be honest and not lie, I feel like in that moment he lied because he was like, that was all I said.
Right.
That was not all he said. Yeah. He said a whole lot more.
Yeah. Now, despite Banu saying to us that he ruined his game in just a few minutes of saying these things, of course, this wasn't the first time it happened. Kenzie mentioned at the beginning of last episode that he shot from the hip and gave away secrets at tribal council. Tiffany had told him that they wouldn't let him know about the fake idol, so he wouldn't blurt it out. Heck, the only thing that surprised me about Banu telling all the secrets on the journey was that his tribe mates were in the least bit surprised to find out he told all the secrets on the journey.
Right, yeah.
So, and the worst part is not just the problem of Banu giving away all the information. It is, like I said, that he gave away all the information. It was failing to keep...
It was a double whammy.
Yeah, failing to keep information secret squared. You know, Kenzie said at a previous tribal council, we have to choose who we can play with long term. And this is certainly no way to get someone to believe that they can play with you long term. Mm-hmm. I mean, Tiffany flat out told Banu she was voting him out because she couldn't trust him.
Right. Yeah. I think that's pretty, that's being very honest.
Yes. Yeah. There's the honesty you wanted. And that's basically what she said. Look, I'm being honest with you here.
Yeah.
Now, again, before we leave this rule, there was one scene where Banu was apparently speaking to God. And he said, if I'm taking any wrong steps, please help me. In my head, God would have responded, if you've taken any wrong steps, man, you're beyond even my help.
Oh, David.
I mean, but that's the point. If he knew he had taken, or he should have known he had taken wrong steps.
Yes.
It's like the person who quote unquote apologizes and says, if I've done anything to offend you, I apologize. It's not an apology because you don't even realize you offended them.
Yeah. Like you need to know what you did wrong.
Right.
And I do think that there was this very strange, I don't even know how to really describe it appropriately, but that it was like he would have a moment of clarity and then it would go away.
Yeah.
You know, where like what he said is, oh, did I do something wrong? Yes, you did something wrong. But then he would like forget about it 2 seconds later and would be doing something very similar or of the same in the same vein. And you're like, wait, do you remember this happened over here? Did you not remember what just happened over here? And so it was very strange to watch all of it unfold because I was like, are we not in linear time? Are things not happening in the right order? It was very, very difficult to follow, I will say.
And even when Tiffany and Kenzie were talking, when Tiffany told Kenzie, he spilled everything. And I believe Kenzie was like, right after we talked to him about saying too much.
Yes.
You know, she was shocked too.
So this is why I'm like, it's head scratching. Yeah. It was just head scratching to see these things. And maybe this is why people were thinking he was an actor, because it literally didn't make sense. Like, why would you do something that you were just told, don't do that. Yeah. And then be shocked when they told you, you're not supposed to do that. And then be like, oh, did I do something wrong? Yes. Yeah. We've already explained this to you. Yes.
Yeah. Well, it's the character on, oh gosh. Now I'm blanking. It's a sitcom from years ago where he said, did I do that?
Is that from SNL?
No.
Is that a skip?
No, it's a sitcom.
Oh, like it's you... Steve Urkel.
Yes, Urkel. Yes.
Steve Urkel. Yes.
Yeah. All right. Well, Jessica, the third rule tells players to be flexible. Tell us all the ways Banu was flexible.
Oh gosh. All the ways. Maybe he could have prayed in a different location or something. I'm not sure. Maybe he could have talked to the guy driving the boat and
the ways he was flexible. The ways he was flexible. I'll give you the next five minutes. Go ahead.
I know. Here's the problem. This is gonna sound crazy, but it was like he was too flexible. If that makes any sense. In his willingness to just, I'm just going to discount what everyone has told me over here, and then I'm going to do this over here, and then I'm going to come back and be like, I didn't know I wasn't supposed to do that, even though I did that over here. That's what I'm talking about. I don't really think that this rule applies to Banu like at all, because
it applies. He just,
It doesn't make any sense.
Right. I believe he was absolutely inflexible. He came in believing he could play with honesty. He would not accept or comprehend anything other than that. And, you know, I mean, we already discussed how he couldn't possibly lie to Jeff in tribal council or, strategize in any way. He came in with this box. He put himself in this box and he stayed in that box. And I still think he's in that box.
Well, he's in that box, but he's also like acting like he's not in that box. there's something like very, very difficult. I just feel like this could be just my own opinion, but when someone is explaining to you over and over and over again what you're doing wrong, and he had said in his exit interviews that he played along with them. He's like, oh, they said they wanted to teach me and they wanted to tell me how to play the game. And so I let them. No, that's not true. Like it's just not true.
Yeah.
And I just feel like there was just something, I don't really know even how to properly describe
that's where I go back to being completely inflexible. He was talking to a wall when it came to strategy.
Yeah, I guess that's the best way to describe it then, because it really made no sense at all.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Let's give you another chance here with rule four. The fourth rule tells players not to let their emotions control him. Do you think Banu had any issues with emotions at all?
Yes.
What? Yes, how could you say that?
I mean, just a little bit, right? Just a smidge, just a smidgen. Let's talk about that box again.
Yeah.
I definitely see the issue here for Banu that he had relative to his emotions, because one, he couldn't keep them in check. And as you've already said, he came into this game with a very set idea of what he wanted to be. And I do think that his decisions and how he was interacting with people, reacting to people, talking to people, it all stemmed from an emotional place as opposed to a strategic place, which we've already talked about, that there was no strategy. It was more of a knee-jerk reaction if he was upset. I mean, can we talk about the coconut scene for 2 seconds? What was that? When she was like, Bonnie, were you okay? No, here. And he walks away and gives her a coconut. Like, what just happened? This is why I'm struggling so much here. Because again, he's a great person. He's a lovely human being. But the actual game that was being played, head scratching.
Yes.
Just head scratching. So yes, lots of emotional decisions being made by Banu. for sure.
Yeah. While Banu complained to Ben and Liz on the jury that his tribe mate said he's not strategic, only emotional, he also admitted multiple times that he's an emotional person. So I'm not entirely sure what he was complaining about because, yes, he's emotional. In fact, I would say overly emotional because in addition to that coconut scene, we also saw him storm off and complain that Kenzie supposedly snapped at him for no reason. Okay, first, that was the mildest so-called snap I've ever seen.
Right.
Second, there was a reason. He was being annoying, and she just asked him to please give her a few minutes.
Right.
And then he stormed off.
Yeah, and the other thing that I thought was interesting, it just made me think of this, because she immediately like went and apologized. She and she told Q, she's like, I'm going to need to apologize to him just because I'm going to need to, you know, he's going to need to feel better about this.
Yeah.
And he was talking about how his tribe mates lacked empathy, which I thought was fascinating considering
talked about everything, in his interviews.
Yes. Everything that they were doing for him and trying to help him and taking time out of their own games to try to improve his game. Now, granted, I'm sure they were doing it for a selfish reason or a little bit of a selfish reason because they want to go further in the game. But for him to think that they were not empathetic, I was a little taken aback because I think that they went above and beyond trying to help him and coddle him a little bit and make him feel better.
Exactly,
and
the word I have.
See, there we are. Yeah. So so there is something again that just didn't make sense to hear him say that when we were able to observe everything that they were doing for him.
Yeah, if he had said that during the game, fine, whatever. I probably wouldn't have mentioned it. You probably wouldn't have mentioned it. But the fact that he's repeatedly saying it now tells me he still just doesn't get it.
Yeah.
Even aside from what you just said, Survivor is not therapy.
No.
The other players are not there to support and coddle you.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it's possible that will happen. We've seen Sega being incredibly supportive of each other. Mm-hmm. But we also have to remember they haven't gone to tribal council yet.
Right.
Survivor is a game. It is not group therapy. You can choose to view it as an experience, which is clearly what Banu has done. You cannot, however, impose your view on others because that's not why most of them are there. They are not there to help you. They are there to help themselves.
Right. And this isn't to say that there are never moments in Survivor when you need to, or that you shouldn't ever support anyone, because there are definitely moments in the game where you do need to help each other out and you do need one. You need to take those moments and kind of rebuild your team and get everybody on the same page. So that's totally separate than what we saw happening with Banu, because it was a very individualized need for him and him only. It wasn't tribe related. It wasn't strategic. It was like, we just got to keep him on the straight and narrow because he's going to blow up all of our games. Mm-hmm. And so there are moments where you need to support each other 100%. But to this extent and this specialized and trying to kind of coach him and train him, that's a whole different point.
Of walking on eggs around him so you can't
say
anything like that. I had an employee.
And having him like quote lines so he would know what to say when he goes to tribal council. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
Yeah, I had an employee who was, I mean, some of us nicknamed her Eggy because you had to walk on eggshells whenever she was there, because heaven forbid you say something that she took slight offense to, she would be like, she would storm off and you'd be like, what just happened?
Yeah.
You know, and you know, at work, at least, yes, I want to support my employees.
Right.
Survivor. You don't even necessarily have that.
Well, and honestly, too, to their credit, they should all be like, great.
Yeah.
You know, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Keep going down this path, Banu, because you're just making it easier for me to stay and for other people, because we're all going to vote you out. You know, so that's the other part that I think really should be highlighted is that, yes, well, they were coming at it from maybe a selfish standpoint because they wanted to also save themselves. They could have just been like, who cares? He can get voted out. It's fine.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, one more thing I need to address in this rule is the way Banu's emotions led him to being mad at God for giving him only one miracle and not another one to keep him
around.
Sorry,
Randon.
Well, that's exactly it. How many people does Banu want God to injure for him so he can stay in the game?
Right.
You know, so I know it was, you know, the different stages of grief, and one of them was anger and this and that. But come on, man. It was bad enough the first time. It's worse now.
Yeah.
And that's just emotions absolutely running away.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, the fifth rule reminds players they need to pretend to be nice and play the social game. It is pretty obvious that Banu did not need to pretend to be nice because, as we have both said, he really is a nice guy.
Mm-hmm.
Too nice for this game, really.
Yeah.
Even Jess told Rob a couple weeks ago about how nice he was because some people were getting mad at him for yelling at her in that block, the arch challenge. So, yes, he is nice, but just being nice does not equate to having a good social game.
Yeah.
We talked in Rule 4 about how he got mad at Kenzie and stormed off. We just spent a bunch of time talking about that because she wasn't catering to his behavior to the point that she felt she had to go apologize to him. And again, it's this walking on eggshells thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it was only further hurting his game. It was not helping it.
Yeah. And I think that that is a very good distinction to make, that you can be nice and still have a very bad social game.
Yeah.
Because you need to be able to meld the two things together. Mm-hmm. And he was definitely failing at doing so.
Yeah. All right. We'll move ahead to the sixth rule, which warns against being too much of a threat. Now, Banu was not the typical type of threat usually that we usually think of in this rule. He wasn't going to purposely backstab one of his allies or win the game. But he did accidentally backstab his allies and could have cost them the game. He was the type of threat who hurts everyone else in the tribe because of his inability to play the game, as you mentioned, and also, which I'll get to a little bit more in Appendix A, issues and challenges.
Yeah.
They simply could not trust him in any capacity.
Well, and I think that's the scariest type of threat to have is the ignorant threat, right? It's not the person who is purposefully backstabbing and going behind your back and trying to like play both sides. It's not that person. It's the person that doesn't even realize the damage that they're creating by carrying out this, I just want to be honest and I just want to be able to speak to whomever about whatever and about whoever. That is the true, like, scariest, biggest threat for an individual because he doesn't even realize the damage that he's creating.
Yeah, and it's not predictable. It's not controllable.
Right.
You know, you can predict that certain players will come after you. You can't predict what Banu is going to say.
Right.
All right, well, the seventh rule covers idols and advantages in game mechanics. Banu didn't have any luck finding an idol, mostly because Tiffany already had it and because God wouldn't plant another one for him. Nor did he have any luck begging others to get one for him. Of course, we know he went on his journey and wasn't able to solve the puzzle, causing him to lose his vote. But as we discussed much earlier, he didn't ask to go on that journey. He didn't ask to play the puzzle game. That was not his choice.
Yeah.
But he bears responsibility for what he said on that journey, which, you know, we've spent a few minutes discussing already.
Just a few.
So I don't
know. Nothing to add.
Okay. Well, then we'll go to Appendix A, which is about the players keeping their end goals in mind when voting. And we talk about voting out the weak, then the strong, then the weak, then the strong. There was no doubt about this vote. They had to get rid of the person who was the weak in every possible game way.
Yeah.
Because besides everything we've already discussed, I contend he had problems in the challenges, despite what he claimed in interviews. He said he did well. The cameras said otherwise. He cost his team precious time in the immunity challenge by forgetting the rules.
Oh, I did forget about that.
Yeah, and going around the stacked crates instead of over them.
Yeah.
Why did he think they were there? Like, what were you doing? He ran around them and dove in. They're there for a reason. Everybody else is jumping over them. What are you doing?
Yeah. Yeah.
Then later in that same challenge, when he was the ball retriever for any shots that Q missed, he was moving so slowly that they subbed him out.
Yeah. I will say that is a very difficult thing to do from experience when you're really tired and you're treading water and you're like, I gotta get that ball now. It's hard.
I'm sure it is. But the others managed, and he was specifically called out in particular. You know?
Yes.
So even aside from the complete lack of trust he had with anyone at this point, they might have decided to vote him out just based on the challenge. Combined with everything else, it was a no-doubter.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
All right. So it's about time to wrap things up. Jessica, what are your final thoughts on Banu?
Oh, Banu, as I said in the beginning of this podcast,
I thought you were going to stop there and that was going to be your whole conclusion. Oh, Banu.
Done. I do truly think that Banu's t-shirt represents the existence that he wants to have both in his life and in Survivor. And that is to be kind. Unfortunately, I don't associate be kind with the game of Survivor because it's an impossible mix. You can be kind in Survivor, but you can't always be kind. And you need to bring a strategic component to the game. And you can play it off as being kind. You can hide it behind your kindness. You can try to make people not realize what you're doing because you are kind. But in the end, everyone who plays Survivor has to backstab, has to be dishonest, has to do something in order to further their game. In the process, taking others out. And that's what makes Survivor so fantastic. And that's what makes it a game that we all return to and we love, is because of that component. It's a very, very difficult thing for anyone to do because Survivor is not real life. And in real life, you wouldn't purposefully throw people under the bus. You wouldn't try to backstab. You wouldn't do these things to bring someone else down.
Speak to yourself here a little bit, but yeah.
Okay, maybe you shouldn't do those things in real life.
Again,
but in Survivor, In Survivor, you 100% have to, because you have to play to win and you have to play to get to the end and to win. And so I just feel for Banu because I really do think he came in with this idea, this I can be honest and I can play this game with the integrity that I seek. And in the end, we all saw what happened and it just went... It didn't work. And I really do think that the people that were on his tribe with him tried so hard to save it. They tried so hard to help him. And he was just very set in his ways and really desirous of creating this Survivor game that just cannot exist. So in the end, Banu, thank you for playing. Maybe I'm not trying to be mean, but this is not the game for you. It's just not. Yeah. This is not a game that is for an individual such as Banu, but I appreciate his story. I appreciate him sharing, putting himself out there. And he seems like a lovely human being, but just not someone who is wired appropriately to play Survivor.
Yes. I said before we got into the rules that some of what we were talking about was likely to sound mean to some people. But again, this was as objective an evaluation as we could possibly make for him. Outside the game, Banu the person seems to be a kind human being. Inside the game, he was an absolutely terrible player. He came in saying he was a super fan, but wanted to ignore everything he'd seen since season one and change the way Survivor was played. That always has the same ending. Some people who've tried in the past have realized the error of their ways, like NECA from Survivor 43. I'm still not sure Banu does. Even though he said before Tribal Council, I realize that honesty has no meaning in this game. I truly believe if for some reason he were brought back, he would play the same way again. It's too deeply ingrained in him to put it aside for playing a game. As Tiffany said, if you want to win a million hearts, go volunteer. Even Jeff said on his podcast, Banu drove his tribe mates crazy. That was clear. But it's not because he was a compassionate, caring person. He drove them crazy because of his lack of gameplay abilities. This is Jeff talking about gameplay abilities. That's how far.
And he's your guru.
Yes. The ability to put aside your emotions, your honesty, parts of you that you cherish in everyday life, all of that is necessary to, again, to put it away for a survivor. Leading up to tribal council, Banu said, a momentary truth caused so much. And he added, 5 seconds of my honesty ruined my game. No, it didn't. There was a lot more than that ruining his game. It was just the final straw.
As
Banu, As Banu himself said in tribal council, I don't have anything. I don't have a vote. I don't have an idol. I don't have alliances. I screwed up this game big time. I can't disagree with that. I do believe Banu loves Survivor, but he loves Survivor, the TV show. He doesn't comprehend how to play Survivor, the game. He had a very emotional journey and story. And as I said, outside the game, he seems like an incredibly nice person, but he's still really bad at Survivor. And that is why Banu lost.
I think that's a very interesting point about that he loves watching the game.
Yes.
And I do think that there are people, and I've had conversations with people like this where they're like, oh, I love watching Survivor. I can never play it.
Mm-hmm.
And that, I think, is a very good.
I'm glad they recognize.
Right.
It. Yeah.
Like to have that realization about yourself. Like, no, I love the game and I watch it all the time, but I could never play that. I can never play that game. I think that's a great point to make that, yes, you can be a super fan, but that doesn't mean you're going to be great at the game.
Right. And again, it comes down to, and this is not something I, you know, want to re-debate again. You know, what is a super fan? To me, a super fan is not just someone who has watched every episode of the show.
Right.
But maybe, even if you don't listen to podcasts, even if you don't do anything, maybe read some interviews. So he would have seen what happened with NECA.
Right.
As just one example. Because that one just jumped out at me.
Right.
It was 2 seasons ago.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, before he got on, you know. All right. Well, before we get to our predictions for the next episode, remember to make sure you stick around for that. Let me remind everyone that the rules we just discussed are available in poster form.
Yes, go to
robhasawebsite.com/yxlostfeed and scroll down, click on it, order it. And you can do the same with the poster on a t-shirt and the poster on the checklist. Sorry, on a t-shirt. Oof, I am just... Well, I just realized that I was reading the page to get us, and I just realized that I forgot to put the YX Lost feed and Y blank lost logo on the video. So that kind of discombobulated me for a moment there.
Gosh darn it, Bloomberg.
Yes.
Better late than never.
Yes. Yes. But besides going to robhasawebsite.com/yxlostfeed, there are other ways people can get a hold of us.
Yes, there are. You can follow me at JessicaLowes89 on Twitter. You can also follow David Bloomberg at David Bloomberg. I am also on Instagram at JessicaLowes6789. And I've said this before and I'll say it again. I steal a lot of his content for my stories because it's super lovely and super helpful. So I appreciate that greatly. But David Bloomberg is all over social media and seems to just continue to expand and develop more areas in which to post videos and to get his content out there. And so he has his Linktree information that he's just put up on the screen.
Yes, Linktree.
Linktree.
Linktree / David Bloomberg with a dot before the EE in Linktree. Or you could find me on most text-based social media like Twitter and Blue Sky as at David Bloomberg. And on the video platforms, TikTok, YouTube, and Instagram is at David Bloomberg TV, which is also my Threads name because it's connected to Instagram. And, you know, you said that I've been expanding, but I actually knocked off one. I stopped
posting
to post. I am not on post, or I am on post, But I was not getting anywhere on post. So I got rid of that.
But you continue to try.
Yes, yes. And yeah, I've been posting, you know, 3 or sometimes even 4 videos per day at TikTok, YouTube, and Instagram.
And right maybe now, that's where my statement comes from, because I will say when I go through my TikTok For You page, you're all over my For You page.
Well, good, good. Just so you know. Just keep liking and sharing, liking and sharing.
I do, you know. I do.
Everybody, I mean. So I'm posting right now clips, of course, from U.S. Survivor, plus other shows like The Amazing Race, Deal or No Deal Island. I just finished posting videos from Australian Survivor, including the whole season of Mini Why Blank Losts, and of course, a Why Blank One. Speaking of Australian Survivor, I joined Sarah Carradine on Silent Podcasts to discuss the final week, the final 5 players, and a really, really great season overall. This is probably the best season of Australian Survivor yet.
Can I just tell you how jealous I was to see their final, like, immunity challenge?
Really?
Like,
it's torture. It was literal torture.
But that's why I loved it.
Oh, okay.
Like, this is what U.S. Survivor needs to go back to.
Torturing people?
Come on. I'm sorry, but if you want to know who wants to win.
Well, yeah.
Oh, give them something that they really have to dig. You've got to get it from inside.
The dig was the posts, the little pointy things digging into their feet.
It was,
you know?
It was definite torture. But my gosh, that's what we need in U.S. Survivor. 100%. Love that. Mm-hmm. Anyway.
All right. Well. It is time for predictions, and it's interesting.
You know, you did so well last week. You should just go first.
I will.
Okay, good.
I figure I almost always go first unless you get a prediction right. And then I let you go first the next week, which means I almost never let you go first.
fair. Yeah. Very fair.
But this week is interesting.
Jessica, since you're so bad at it, you never get to go first.
Because I've been right in each of them so far, but we're entering a new phase in the season, a post-Banu era, where we could finally get on with the game, maybe.
Maybe.
Now, of course, it's possible Yanu will lose yet again. But especially if there is a reward challenge, the other two tribes will have to sit out at least some of their better players just because Yanu only has 3. One tribe's going to have to sit out literally half of their
You don't think they're going to do a swap?
No, not at this point.
Really?
I don't think there will be a swap at this point, because I think they'll merge after like one more vote. Because what are we now? We're at 5-4-3?
Yeah.
So that's 12. I think they'll do, they usually do the mergatory at 11. Because you have the 5 and 5 and 1. Right. And
I don't like this math.
Yeah. So I don't think, I mean, he could fool us, and there could be, because they're down to 3, but I just don't think so. But with that said, I think Yanu will finally succeed. And then the question is, which tribe doesn't? My guess is it will be Siga who loses. We saw how Jem turned the target on Tim somewhat. And we also know that tribe is split men versus women, except for Charlie and Maria in the middle. I think that those two will go with the women and take out Tim, despite the preview showing Tim accusing Jem of planting the fake Beware advantage, which she did, but he needs numbers to support him on that. And I don't think he has those numbers. Mm-hmm. Especially since Ben lost his vote, so that's even one less number.
These are all very valid points.
So, yes, I think it will be Tim, who I will say, at least I will say he has a good sense of humor about himself. I today posted a TikTok of him falling off the platform in the water repeatedly during the reward challenge.
Oh my gosh, really did too.
And I set it to the music of Under the Sea. And so he liked it so much, he put it on his own story. So
nice. That's good.
So it's good to have a good sense of humor about yourself. But unfortunately, Tim, My prediction is you're next.
I'm sticking with there's going to be a swap.
Okay.
Because here's the thing. I want to believe that production is like, God, we got to do something with this because it's getting bad. Like, I really want to believe that that's what they're looking at and going, we need to switch something. I just want to. I want to so badly. And so I'm going to stick with it. I'm going to stick with it, even though the numbers do not point in that direction. I believe that Survivor production is listening and paying attention and realizing that the game show that they have created is just not that much fun when it's repetitive in this way. So let's keep everybody guessing and let's do a swap, even though people are now counting on their fingers and figuring out how many players are left and going, that's not usually how they do this, just to keep it interesting. And I think that's what's going to happen. I think we can do a little swappy swap. And here's what my thought is with that swappy swap. Oh, here's my idea. Okay, because I talked about this before, how everyone's going to be focusing on Kenzie, right? Mm-hmm. Because she's been thrown under the bus as like the social butterfly. But I think Kenzie is good enough to save herself. And I think Kenzie, in my worldview, will be able to save herself. But I feel like Q will not be able to.
Ooh.
I feel like...
That would be bad because Q just today came out with a new merchandise on his website. So that would be bad if he came out with it, you know, just before he's about to put it out.
Gosh. Yes. So maybe I shouldn't say this.
Oh, damn it. I should have made you go all the way without giving you that information.
No, but here's the thing. Like, I think it's going to end up coming down to if they do a swap, which they're probably not going to do, but this is in Jessica's world. Mm-hmm. They're going to do the swap. And then you've got some permutation where you have, you know, Kenzie and Tiffany and Q all have to end up somewhere. And I just feel like, and maybe Q came out with his merchandise because he knows next week is it for him. That's what it is. So he's like, I gotta get on this train now. I gotta start selling shit because I'm almost out the door. And maybe people will feel bad for me because I got voted out and then they'll buy my stuff. It's Q. See, you just sold it.
All right.
You just made me convince myself.
Okay, good. I purposely tried to get you to convince yourself of the wrong answer. That was my trick.
You did a great job.
I should be on Survivor.
It's crazy.
Well, I'm
going to
if I do that, I'm going to change the game. I'm going to play honestly. I'm going to ignore all my rules and I'm just going to, cuz nobody will expect it from me.
Could you imagine if David Bloomberg stepped on that map? He would be like, wait a second. It's David Bloomberg. He made the rules of Survivor.
And then they'd vote me out and all of them would come up and write my name down and go, and this is why David lost. So because, yeah, they would have to, you know.
Yeah.
That's
it.
Yeah.
David, then, you're wrong.
And then I'd have to wear this shirt.
Yes.
I would just wear this shirt there that, you know, why you lost. So, all right. Well, as we wrap up, I want to encourage people to check out the RHAP patron program at robhaswebsite.com/patron. There are tons of special podcasts that are put out there just for patrons. Like this season, there's always the 5 for 5 where Rob talks to, his wife, Nicole, or in this case, he talked to his son about all things Survivor and Amazing Race and other stuff. Plus, there's the Survivor feedback show, which the strategic aspect of that discussion is patron only. And there's lots of other things as well. So again, to get all of that extra great content and to support shows on the network, including ours, go to robhaswebsite.com/patron. And also make sure you're subscribed to all of the reality TV Rehap Up podcasts by going to robhaswebsite.com/rehapupsfeed and selecting your podcast service of choice. You will, of course, find us there, plus the B&B, Survivor International, and also podcasts on a number of other shows and topics. Big Brother Canada is going on now and all the other different shows. So, you know, make sure that you're subscribed so you don't miss any podcasts.
Yes, you definitely should subscribe. There is incredible content that is put out by RHAP, and we would like to thank everyone who does all of the editing, not just for the Why Blink Lost podcast, but all of the content that you've just heard discussed, and then some. Thank you to Scott St. Pierre for the editing and all of the help that he does receive as well. Thank you to everyone who is supporting this podcast and all of the other podcasts that are on RHAP and all of the content. Thank you, Rob, for continuing to support all of the podcasters and allowing us to continue to do what we love to do. And thank you, David, for humoring me in my selection of Q for this week and making me feel like maybe there's
a slim chance.
Just a little smidge.
Yes.
You know, and that we got through this. And I know that, again, I just can't say it enough. Like, this is what David and I do is difficult because as someone who was a player, I went through listening to people say things about me, like David Bloomberg. But that is part of when you put yourself out there and you play this game, people are going to watch the game you play and they're going to talk about it. And so that's what we're doing. We're trying to talk about it in a way that breaks it down and allows potential future players to consider the things that we're saying and the rules that are put forth by David Bloomberg in their own games that they would hope to be on Survivor one day and play. So thank you for listening. We appreciate it.
Yes. Thank you to all our listeners. Thank you, Jessica, for another great episode. We will see everyone in a week. And of course, you can find me everywhere. Except post. Until then.
Everywhere.
So we'll be right back here in a week. Bye.
If you lost Survivor and you're feeling down, David and Jessica will turn it around. They'll break down the rules and they'll show you how. You played yourself and got voted out. This is why Blank lost. And this is why Blank lost. Baby, this is why black